In his new book, Saving Christianity, Dr. Michael Youssef reminds us we cannot reinvent Christianity to fit our society. Learn about the dangers of undermining our faith, how to distinguish biblical truth, and have a renewed confidence in the future of the church. Go to www.thesavingchristianitybook.com. Again, thesavingchristianitybook.com.
Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm Taylor Berglund, Associate Editor of Charisma Magazine, and today we have a very special guest on the phone line for today's episode. I'd like to welcome author and pastor Max Lucado. Max, how are you doing?
Taylor, I'm really doing pretty good. You know, it's a every day brings opportunities and challenges and times to, you know, test my faith. And sometimes I do well at that. Sometimes I struggle. But I think overall, I'm forging forward and doing pretty well.
Well, that's good to hear. It's certainly been a pretty crazy time, I think, for all of us here. What with the obvious outbreaks regarding COVID-19, often referred to as the coronavirus. I believe today I just saw the news that a million people worldwide have officially been infected with it. More than 55,000 people have died as a result. And so obviously it's a sobering time, and it's a time of disruption, I think, for a lot of people. And so I guess on just like a basic level, how have you been affected by the outbreaks? How has your life changed?
Well, let me test something on you and your audience. It's just kind of a new thought. But I've wondered if the feeling that many of us are experiencing, including myself, is a form of grief. I've been calling it anxiety, and I do think anxiety is prevalent. But somebody mentioned this the other day, that they're feeling a sense of sadness. And I thought, you know what? I think that's true. I think we're sad. I think there's kind of a societal sadness that's we've experienced a loss. There's a loss of normalcy. There's a loss of opportunity. On some of it, it's a purely maybe the word is entertainment level. You know, we've lost opening day baseball. We've lost the vacation we were planning for the kids to the beach at spring break. We've lost the chance to go to Disneyland or, you know, whatever it is. So there's a sense of that level of loss. And then there's a deeper level of loss, and that is the loss of security, a loss of assurance, the loss of feeling like we were safe. That's really deep. And then for some people, like a dear friend I was texting with yesterday, his mother-in-law and his father-in-law are in the hospital, both on respirators. They're both in their late 80s, and the odds of them surviving are just pretty slim. And so he's dealing with a deep, deep sense of loss there. And so I've wondered, what do you think of that, Taylor? Maybe we're having this collective grief that we're going through.
No, I that resonates with me. I think this feeling of I think it is possible to just be sad over not having things sometimes that you usually have, that loss, like you talked about. And I think that can be, as you mentioned, yeah, you said it really well. I think that can be a very profound thing, and that can be a little more surfacey for other people. But I think that's we're seeing people respond to that. And I think that's also just because there's many different ways to grieve. I think that speaks to the many different ways that people are reacting to this.
Absolutely. And I think to, if we can name something, we can manage it better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If we can say, oh, okay, this is grief. Well, okay, then how have I handled grief in the past? How did I manage grief, you know, when my grandmother died? Or how did I manage grief when I buried my good friend, you know, when when morning comes, not M-O-R-N-I-N-G, but M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, what do we do? What do we do? And most of us have studied the, you know, five stages of grief, and those are very, very helpful, very important. Maybe we need to understand that all of us are at a different place. And sometimes those stages of grief don't come in the sequence. You know, sometimes anger comes before denial. But we need to understand that all of us are at different stages of this grief. And this really gets confounded because we're not only at different stages of grief, but we're stuck under the same roof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might be a husband who is just kind of saying, this is all a hoax. It's, you know, we need to just move on. We got to, you know, he's kind of angry at it. And he's married to somebody who is just deeply, deeply sad about the whole situation. And so it's difficult. They need to come to an understanding that not everybody responds in the same way. So I'm just kind of thinking out loud with you there, Taylor. Maybe this is a form of grief, and coming to understand this is going to be a helpful way to process it.
I think so. And I'm curious then for your insight as a pastor and also someone who has been following Jesus for many years, for many decades now. I mean, for me, some of our listeners know, some of them may not. I feel like my voice usually gives it away that I'm a pretty young guy. And so a lot of times we use, when we discuss, I've seen a lot of people invoke when we talk about the pandemic that almost the most comparable incidents to this are really do model what you're talking about with grief and loss, because a lot of times they point to national tragedy events, things like 9/11. Or the Challenger explosion, or things where as a nation, we were all deeply grieved by that. And for me, being a younger guy, I don't have as much of a frame of reference on that. For me personally, when 9/11 happened, I was in first grade at the time. So I don't have as much of a reference for how do you move through that as a pastor and someone who is leading through many of those years and incidents over time? What have you noticed about, you know, the way that we collectively grieve, and what is the best advice you can give for getting through those seasons where you're both grieving and also you're trying to help other people who are grieving?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is an excellent, excellent question. First of all, let's understand that grief, at its core is an unmet expectation. Mm-hmm. We expected to have longer with our loved one, and now we're at their funeral. Or we expected to have a wonderful retirement, and now our retirement savings are in jeopardy. We expected to, you know, go on a cruise this summer. I'm just pulling things kind of out of the air
right here,
Anthony, but these are expectations that we have. I do recall a conversation years and years ago when I was serving as a missionary in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And our team consisted of several young couples who, by virtue of being far away from home, became very close. And we rejoiced greatly when two of our team members, Marty and Angela, announced that she was pregnant with their first child. But the pregnancy was difficult, and I remember how the joy became concern. Angela was told to stay in bed. We were urged to stay in prayer. And we prayed. She stayed in bed. And the Lord answered our prayers, but not the way we desired. He took that child into heaven before that child was allowed to live on earth. And I'll never forget Marty, my good friend's comment. He said, more than a baby died, Max, a dream died. And grief is more than the burial of a person. It is really the burial of an expectation or a dream or a hope or an aspiration. And I think that's what we're dealing with right now. You know, 2 months ago, we all had a certain expectation for how this year was going to play out. And now we have had to bury those expectations. And I think we deal with those in a couple of ways. First of all, we have to allow ourselves to grieve. I've said this several times on several broadcasts, but I think you got to let yourself have a meltdown or two or 10. You just got to let yourself have a meltdown. Maybe go in the bathroom and turn the water on if you don't want everybody to hear you, but just let yourself cry. Let yourself grieve. You just got to do that. The Bible, there's nothing in the Bible about suppressing our grief. I mean, for crying out loud, there's a whole book called Lamentations. You know, there is a necessary and a healthy part of lamenting. God wants us to face our sorrows with His help. Dismissal and denial are not a part of God's grief therapy. You know, when King David learned of the death of Saul and Jonathan, David and the entire army tore their clothing and they wept aloud and they fasted until sunset. He even ordered that the people of Judah sing a funeral song. So death or sadness was never soft-pedaled or passed over. We have to face it. We have to fight it. We have to question it and even be angry at it, but we shouldn't deny it. You know, Solomon said, there is a time to mourn. It is a time to mourn. But then I think also we claim the promise that comes from the 23rd Psalm, that God will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He leads us through it. He doesn't leave us in it. He leads us through it. Weeping may come for the night, wrote the psalmist, but joy comes in the morning. And so let's let weeping happen. But let's don't think for a second that this is going to be a permanent state of affairs. God is going to get us through this. And He's going to lift our spirits. Let yourself grieve, but let yourself also indulge in the hope that is a faith-based hope that our God rose from the dead. And the same God who defeated death, who's now ascended and seated at the right hand of the throne of heaven, is going to walk us through this and restore joy to our hearts.
Amen. I receive that, and I think a lot of our listeners do as well.
Forgive me for preaching, but you know that's what I am, right?
Absolutely. That's why we have you here.
You know, you did bring up that I am an older. There is some wonderful wisdom that comes with years. I am 65. I was very active in trying to help people get through 9/11. I remember the tragic economic downturn of 2008, and so I really can dig into that. And so I say to you, and I say to the others who've not gone through a tragedy like this, hey, just be kind to yourself. Take it one day at a time. But we get through things. God gets His people through things. It may not be quick, and it may not be painless, and far be it from me to say how long this is going to take. But I am very confident that our Heavenly Father will get us through it.
Mm-hmm. There is hope on the other side. And in the end, I'm going to butcher the phrase here, but we don't fear the ones who can endanger our physical lives or the disease that can endanger our physical lives, but what endangers our soul. I think there's an opportunity here for people to draw closer to God in this season of disruption when their normal mm-hmm. patterns and habits are broken.
I agree. You know, brother, I'll just tell you, I start every morning in a little storage room in our house on a yoga mat that to me is a prayer mat. And I turn the lights off because if I don't, I'll get distracted. But I get down on the floor and I start off on my knees, but within 2 minutes, I'm on my belly. And I just lie there before God. And I'm a pathetic sight. I mean, I'm pathetic. I haven't shaven. I haven't combed my hair. I'm still in my pajamas, but I just pray. I say, Lord, I just need enough strength for today. Just get me through, please, today. The prayer is not, full of poetry. It's not fancy language. It's just heartfelt and honest. I pray in the Spirit. I pray to the Spirit. I pray. I just pull out everything. I try to remember every promise I can, and I stand on those. And I think that's what we got to do. I think God is calling his people to himself, and he's calling the people who have turned away from him home. It's a time of turning and returning. I think this is a defining moment for the church. We have what the people need, hope and encouragement and life. And your listeners, if they have God, if they've said yes to Jesus, Jesus has said yes to them. The Holy Spirit lives within you. So speak words of hope whenever you have the opportunity. Speak words of life. This is not time to be arrogant or condescending. It's time to be humble, to present the gospel, to love people through deeds and words. And this is a great opportunity for the church. I really believe that.
Fantastic. Well, I'm loving hearing all of this wisdom from you, being able to just hear you speak from that experience that you talked about. And I think that if our listeners are enjoying this too, I do want to point them to some other places where you've been doing some pretty great stuff as well. I know that you recently had a column go up for RNS in which you discussed the importance of gratitude during this season. And I know you've also been doing daily check-ins through your YouTube channel throughout the crisis. You want to tell me just a little bit about that, and if people want to watch those or find those, where they can go for it?
Yeah, we've got two or three things going on. I do have a day. I say daily. It's turned into a daily check-in in which I give an 8 or 10 minute word of encouragement. I'm not promising I'll do that every day because some days it's just but most of the time it's there. We do have an online service on Sundays for people who either want to supplement their online service from their church, or if they don't have one, at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, we issue that. This weekend, my wife is going to be a part of it with me, and she's going to pray. And then also, Michael W. and Debbie Smith, longtime artist and singer, he and his precious wife are going to pray and give us a word. And so that's a helpful tool. We have online Bible study going on called Anxious for Nothing, and it's free. It's free. A person can download the videos and download the curriculum at no charge. If they want to buy the book to complement it, they can. If they don't, that's fine. And so mainly it's the videos. It's the and all of this is available at maxlocato.com. And I hope it's encouraging.
Fantastic. Well, Max, thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. I wonder, would you mind closing this episode with a word of prayer?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Well, dear Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. We need you so much, Father. We need you in this hour. We need you. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd meet us at this point of sadness that we have, this kind of grief, that the future we had expected is not the future that it looks like we're going to inherit. Yet at the same time, Father, we stand on that promise that sorrow may come with the night, but joy comes with the morning. We believe that, Lord. And as we head into this Easter week, we see how sorrow did come when you were placed in the tomb, but how joy came when you rose from the grave. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for my brother and his good work. Thank you for Charisma and their steady, steady hand. Let your blessings be upon them, upon the entire church, all over the world. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Max Lucado on the Charisma News Podcast here on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Taylor Berglund, and thanks for joining us.